is that question. And answer the question, has God forgotten about me? And then as a subtitle to that, how to have an encounter with God. How can we have an encounter with God? Exodus chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not hither, put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. May the Lord add his blessing to his word this morning. If you want to just keep that open there, we will continue to look at that passage, even some verses later on. But I wonder, have you ever felt that maybe God has forgotten about you? Have you ever felt like saying, hey, God, remember me? Just kind of raise your hand and say, wonder, God, where are you in my life right now? I seem to be neglected. I seem to be forgotten. I have a suspicion that Moses felt that way. He's been tending sheep for 40 years. He had thought that God was going to use him as a deliverer, that he was going to deliver his people from bondage, but now he is, loosely translated, he's in the boondocks. He's in the backside of the desert. He's in a place where it seems like this is not God's country. This is anything but God's country. He was a man of promise. He was a young man with high ambitions. He had a lot of potential. He was trained. He was prepared to do great things. Raised in Pharaoh's palace, educated in the finest schools and institutions, a man destined for greatness. Here he is on the backside of the desert tending sheep. What in the world happened? Well, he did what he thought was right. He came upon an Egyptian and a Hebrew fighting. This Egyptian, taking advantage of this Hebrew slave, just got to Moses. And so he took the Hebrew and he killed him. I mean, the Egyptian, and he killed him. And then he buried him in the sand. Word got around. Questions started to be asked. Who made you to be a prince over us? Who made you our boss? Who do you think you are anyway? Moses learned that his murder had been found out, and so he left. Left everything that he knew, wandered, eventually became this shepherd taking care of his father-in-law's sheep 40 years. All of the preparation, all of the expectations. Here he is. He seems to be all but forgotten. I wonder if you've ever felt that way. I wonder if you've ever felt like some of the guys in our church right now who've worked for a company for a number of years. One day they're told, no longer have a place for you. We're downsizing. Or we're going to close the plant. It's easy to feel like God has forgotten us at times like that. Maybe you're here today as a wife and you married your knight in shining armor only to find out that he really wasn't a knight in shining armor. And you've had a tough and a difficult life and you wonder, has God forgotten about me? Maybe you're here today and you're a single parent. And you're doing the best that you can to raise your children. And you wonder, I'm so alone. I'm in a desert place. I'm in a lonely desert place. God, where are you? I know that's happened in many pastors' lives. It happened in my life. We were at a time in South Dakota when we moved there, and I should have got the clue when the guy called for to interview me, and his name was Frankenstein. And I literally had to listen to that message over and over again, because how do you call the person on the call committee, probably the head deacon of the church, and call him Frankenstein if that's not his name? So, but we went out there and we knew nobody in South Dakota. Didn't know a soul. We felt like we were alone. We felt like we were on the backside of the desert, and literally, we were. What happened to all the prospects? You know, what happened to all of the education, the training, the expectations? Has God forgotten about me? I want to talk to you this morning about meeting God in unexpected places and at unexpected times. A lot of our encounters with God are times when we are not expecting to meet Him. We meet Him in places we would not expect to meet Him in. Now, I've never tended sheep. I'm not a shepherd. I could not put that on my resume. It seems to me like it would be a boring job, especially if you did the same thing of tending sheep for 40 years. Can you imagine? Day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, everything is the same. Moses must have got up in the morning with no expectations of anything to be different. He would just grab his staff and he would trudge along. Probably had to pull himself out of bed in the morning, because what a boring life this is. All you have to talk to is sheep. Moms, you think you have it bad because all you have to talk to all day is your children. You know, you hunger for some adult conversation sometime. I think Moses was hungering for any kind of human conversation after a while. And so here he is. He goes out. He's not expecting anything, especially not expecting to meet a burning bush. But when he came across that bush that was burning, that must have been a joy to him, because after all, here's something that's different. Something out of the ordinary. Something different than his regular routine. Something to relieve the boredom. So here he is going along, going through his daily routine, and all of a sudden he sees this bush. Now, I imagine that he knew this bush. He probably walked by this bush, if not daily, he probably passed it by on a regular basis. But he looked at this bush, and something about this bush is different that day. This bush is on fire. The amazing thing is not that it's on fire, because a bush could catch fire in the desert. But here is a bush that is on fire, but it's not being consumed. It's not being burnt up. So he steps aside to see this sight. Some people have said the bush wasn't really on fire. It must have been just the way the sun was hitting it. There will always be people who will try to explain away godly and supernatural things. But Moses is a veteran out there. He's a man of the desert. He's a man of the wilderness. He's not going to be fooled by just the sun shining on this bush and thinking it was on fire. So he turns aside to see. When he turned aside, suddenly a voice spoke to him. Moses. Moses. And have you ever noticed that when God calls men, he always speaks to them twice? Moses, Moses, Abraham, Abraham. Ladies, that's for your benefit. You got to say your husband's name twice. First time he doesn't hear. Second time he does. Moses, Moses. That's the first time anybody's called his name for a long time, other than his wife, his father-in-law. So he says, here I am. God says what? Take off your shoes, for this is holy ground. Don't come aside. Don't come any closer. Take off your shoes. You're standing on holy ground. And then he identifies himself. I am the God of your father, he says. I am the God of Abraham and Isaac and of Jacob. What a moment. He met God in this burning bush. His whole life is about to be changed. He discovered that during the 40 years he thought God had forgotten him, he learned at this moment that God had not forgotten him. God knew where he was. God still knew his name. All along, God knew where he was. He had not lost track of him for one moment. I think one of the most encouraging things to me in this story and other stories in the Bible that are like it is that no matter how much I have failed or feel like a failure, no matter how much my enthusiasm may have drained away because of the boredom of life or the twists of life, God knows where I am. God still knows my name. And I want you to know today that God has not forgotten you. God has not forsaken you. God still knows where you live. God still knows what you are, where you are, and he still knows your name. He has not forgotten about you. And if I could meet him and he could meet me in an experience that would transform my life at any moment, then I want to be ready for that time. And so I'd like to share with you this morning how to have an encounter with God. Three things that we can do, we can learn from this story and the life of Moses, and that how we can have our own burning bush experience. We can have our own encounter with God. And the first thing is this, we have to have a willingness to see the supernatural in the natural. We have to have a willingness to see the supernatural in the natural. I think for us to qualify for this kind of encounter, there are certain things that need to be true. And first of all, in order for us at any moment to meet God, at any moment for God to come and save us out of our drudgery and deliver us from our meaningless, there has to be a certain willingness to see the supernatural in the natural. There has to be a certain curiosity in life. There has to be a sensitivity to things that you don't expect. I think you have to be willing to see the extraordinary in the ordinary. You have to be able to see the divine in the daily. When it comes to this idea of worshiping God, of meeting God and having an experience with God, many of these encounters will come outside the four walls of this church. Many of your real life encounters with God will not come within the four walls of a church. Most likely they will not occur in any worship service. You know, we tend to think, well, in order for God to move, in order for us to have some kind of encounter with God, the mood has to be right. You know, we have to have the proper kind of worship. And we have to have powerful preaching. And if it's, we have everything worked up and set up just right, and the structure is just perfect, then sometime God is going to come and God is going to speak to us and we're going to hear from God. The rest of the week, it's all secular. It's all run-of-the-mill stuff. But I say to you, if you're going to meet God, don't discount meeting him outside of the church. Don't discount meeting him in your everyday normal life. I've always been intrigued by the fact that of those two men that were on the road to Emmaus, remember that? They're all sad because Jesus had died. They didn't know where he was. Jesus himself comes and starts walking with them and starts teaching them things about himself, things from the Old Testament up into the present day. They didn't even know it was Jesus. Here they are, a normal everyday activity, walking down the road. Jesus is with them, talking to them. They didn't know it was him. Finally, they come to the place where they need to go in. They need to go into the house. They had reached their destination, and Jesus makes like he's going to go on further down the road. And they compel Jesus to come in and to have something to eat with them. And as they sat there, when Jesus broke bread, their eyes were opened and they realized that it was Jesus. And they said, did not our hearts what burn within us as he spoke with us and as he opened up the scriptures to us? See, they found Jesus in the simple task of breaking bread. They had an encounter with Jesus when they were just sitting around the table and they were eating a normal, ordinary, everyday kind of meal. Jesus was not there feeding the 5,000. Jesus was not there healing somebody from the dead, raising somebody from the grave. They had an encounter with Him as they were having an everyday, ordinary experience. And I would say to us that often we miss God because we're not aware of these times when God wants to have an encounter with us, when God wants to have an experience with us. How many times has our heart, yeah, we don't see the burning bush, but the heart within us begins to burn. It's on fire and we long to have fellowship with God and we long to have an encounter with God, but we say to ourselves, I'm not going to do that here. This is just an ordinary time of day. This is just an ordinary place. I'm just doing a common activity. I'm too busy doing the other things. I've got my life to live. And we miss out on having an encounter with God because we're not looking for something supernatural in a natural, normal occurrence of life. I want to encourage you today to look for God in everything, in every situation, in every activity. Just begin to look to Jesus. We have to have a willingness to see the supernatural in the natural. I'm going to confess to you this morning that I've had some great encounters with God in church services. But the greatest encounters I've ever had were outside the four walls of a church building. I was not saved in church. My salvation experience took place in my home. As I knelt at my bedside, that's where I was saved. I was filled with the Holy Spirit in church, but it really didn't mean a lot to me until one day I was in Bible college. I was driving down the road, and I just thought, unworthy of being a pastor. And here I am studying for the ministry. Could I ask myself, am I really filled with the Spirit? Not much has happened in my life. And all of a sudden, I had an encounter with God. Tears started pouring down my cheeks, and I had to pull over the side of the road I could not see to drive. I want you to know that you can have an experience with God anywhere. And if you expect it just to happen in church, you're going to miss out on a lot of opportunities. A lot of places where God would like to meet you. I believe that it requires a certain curiosity, a certain sensitivity, a willingness, an openness to see these things in order for it to happen. If you read the text carefully, it says that when God saw Moses turn aside, then he spoke to him. See, I have this feeling, this idea that when Moses caught a glimpse of the burning bush, if he had not turned aside, he would not have had this encounter. If he would have said, I'm too busy for this. I've got a job to do. I have a schedule to keep. I have sheep that I have to take care of. I just don't have the time. If he would not have turned aside, I don't think God would have chased after him. And I think a lot of times God is calling to us and he's saying to us, here I am. And if we are curious enough to stop what we are doing and turn and look at Him, things in our life will be different. But we become preoccupied with the mundane affairs of life. In the midst of that daily routine, there was a burning bush. There was something that captured His attention, something that drew Him. And He yielded to that drawing. And in your life, the same thing will be true. There will be something in your life where God is drawing you to Himself. It is at those moments that you need to be curious and you need to turn aside. You say, preacher, I've never seen a burning bush. Neither have I. But there is the Holy Spirit like a burning bush inside each of us that at times is calling us to turn aside and have an encounter with God. In fact, I think we should always go around barefoot. I don't mean that physically. My son Sam would love that. He does not like to wear shoes or socks. But I'm not talking about literally, but there is a sense where we need to walk around spiritually barefoot because we are always standing on holy ground. In the most unexpected ways and in the most unexpected times, God may be speaking to you. God may be calling to you. You have an encounter with Him, but you've got to be sensitive enough to respond to that burning and open to believe that God can speak to you supernaturally out of the absolute natural and mundane of our lives. Most of us don't live brilliantly exciting lives. Most of you are just normal people. Most of us just live normal lives. Your life is just normal enough that nobody's ever going to make a movie about it. If somebody makes a movie about your life, let me know. I want to go see it. But probably it's not going to happen. That's the way most of us are. Something else that really blessed me about this is that God meets us in a very personal way. Even though we are a congregation this morning, when God meets us and we have an encounter with Him, it's in a personal way. It was personal because He called Moses by name. He said, "Moses, Moses." And Moses said, "Here I am." But as I read this, there was something else that struck me. I'd never seen it in this passage before. In verse 5, God is going to identify Himself. Don't come any closer. Take off your shoes. This place where you stand is holy. This is holy ground. Then He said, "I am the God of your fathers." See, we're used to God saying, "I am the God of Abraham. I am the God of Isaac. I am the God of Jacob." But He said to Abraham, "I am the God of your fathers. Then He says, "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." I believe it's because Moses needed a personal touch at that moment. He said, "I know who your father is. I am the God of your fathers. I have not forgotten you. The dad that served me, I knew him well." And that's when Moses hid his face. And so first of all, for us to have these encounters in unexpected places, there must be that certain willingness to see the supernatural in the natural, to believe that God can divinely speak in the daily routine. I believe that something else is required as well. We have to have a certain reverence for God's character and who God is. A reverence for the character of God and who God is. God said, "Moses, don't come any closer." He was curious. He turned aside. He started coming to the bush, but he reached a certain point and God said, "Moses, don't come any closer." It's one thing to be curious, but don't get too familiar. I may be the God of your fathers, but that doesn't mean that you can rush into my presence with your shoes on. There's a caution here for all of us. I know you, Moses, and I know you by name, but don't get too carried away with that. There's still a difference between us. I am the finite, I am the infinite, you are the finite. I am the creator, you are the creation. You are the creature. Take off your shoes because you are on holy ground. And Moses was afraid to look upon God. I'm afraid that we have lost much of the fear of the Lord today. I'm afraid that we have lost much of a reverence and a respect for His awesomeness. I'm afraid that something greatly is missing in our generation, in our attempts to become more personal with God. And especially in our areas of worship, the emphasis nowadays is to be more personal in our worship. I think that we have come to a place, or we're dangerously close to a place, where we have become too familiar with Him and too casual in His presence. You don't treat God as the big guy upstairs. You don't treat God in a casual, cavalier, familiar way. There still has to be this awesomeness when you come into His presence. Moses hid his face because he was afraid. You know this. You've heard it. When the Old Testament talks about fearing the Lord, it's not talking about being scared of Him. It's not talking about being scared of the dark or something like that. It means that you have a certain awe of reverence and respect for God. So you're careful where you walk. You're careful how you walk and how you talk. It's this kind of awareness of being in the presence of God and that God is watching and everywhere I go is holy ground. Moses didn't shout and jump up and down when he came face to face with God. He hid his face. It's like John in the Isle of Patmos. Here's a guy who knew Jesus well. But here's also a guy who may have thought that God had forgotten him. Here he is, banished to this island. There's nobody there but himself. He's all alone. He could have asked himself, God, where are you? Have you forgotten about me? Have you forgotten to be gracious? Look at all the years of faithful service I've had to you. I was one of the 12 disciples. I was one of the three in the inner circle. And here I'm exiled. I'm forgotten about. Suddenly Jesus appears. What does John do? He falls on his face like a dead man because of the awesomeness, the holiness of God. When Peter was out fishing and they weren't catching any fish, Jesus said, why don't you try casting the net on the other side? Nothing worse than a fisherman. Nothing worse a fisherman hates worse than a non-fisherman giving him advice. He's a carpenter's son. He doesn't know anything about fishing. How long have you been fishing, Peter? All night. Caught anything? Don't ask that question. You know, if I'd have caught something, I would have told you. Don't ask that question. Let's not go there. Well, why don't you try the other side? Peter did. Huge amounts of fish. So many fish, the nets began to break. What did Peter do? He ran to shore and said, let's give three cheers for Jesus. Hip, hip, hooray. Hip, hip, hooray. Hip, hip, hooray. Now, he does something only Peter would do. He doesn't take the boat back to shore. He jumps into the water. He gets on shore and he falls on his face and he says, depart from me, O God, for I am a sinful man. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that you and I always need to be super serious and solemn in the presence of God in a worship. I'm not saying that at all. But I am saying that if we want to have an encounter with God, and if God is going to speak to us, I believe that our hearts have to be in a place where we have some reverence and respect and awe for Him. The ground was not holy because the bush was burning. The ground was holy because God was there. Third thing that we need to do if we want to have an encounter with God is to be willing to accept a certain responsibility in God's cause. Okay, so to review a little bit. First, there has to be this sensitive spirit, this willingness to see the supernatural and the natural. Willing to hear God speak out of a bush. Secondly, I think that we have to have a certain reverence and respect for God. The third thing I think this story tells us is that in all such encounters with God, the result will be a certain responsibility in God's cause. In other words, you don't meet God simply for the sake of meeting God. You will notice that it says in verse 10 of chapter 3, come now therefore and I will send thee. You have to go. Moses, I have a work for you to do. I am meeting you here so that I can send you back to Egypt. So that I can send you out to work. God has a purpose behind this. There's a mission behind this. There is something that you and I are to do. And if we want to have an encounter with God, even before we meet Him, we have to say, if I have an encounter with God, I will be willing to do whatever God wants me to do. I'll be willing to act. He goes on to further detail in chapters 3 and 4 exactly what happens with Moses. And God tells him what he wants Moses to say. He said, if you will serve God in this mountain, in other words, I'm meeting you here and we're having this encounter, not just to make you feel good, not just to give you the warm fuzzies, but I am meeting you here because I have something for you to do. And I want you to realize today that Moses probably had given up any expectations of ever doing anything for God. 40 years to wait for God to do something in your life is a long time. Let's face it, the best days of Moses' life were behind him, so he thought. I mean, he's no longer a young man. He is now 80 years old. Could I just encourage you? I don't care how old you are. God still loves to have encounters with you because God still has things for you to do. There is a place where you fit into the community of Christ. A place where you fit in the body of Christ. And God has destined it. You're not going to escape it. He's not going to forget about it. No matter how long it takes. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. excuse me. Paul says, "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." In other words, even before I was born, even before you were born, God had a purpose and a plan and a work for you to do. And He is not going to forget about that plan. He has something special picked out just for you. And success in life is not making a lot of money. It's not about the other things, the way the world would measure success. But it's really finding out what God created me to do and doing it. That is, those are the most successful people in life. That's success. And God is not going to let you escape because He has preordained for you to do these works. And you are going to walk in them. Moses makes all these excuses. More than likely, he put his shoes back on after this experience. Why? Because he now has some places to go. He has some people to see. He has some things that he has to do. He goes back to his father-in-law and says, "I'm quitting. I'm going back to Egypt. I'm going to deliver my people out of the land of Egypt." You know what we would have done today? We would have stayed there and started a church. We would have called it the New Burning Bush Fellowship. If you want to meet God, this is where you come. And people would come from all over the world to that burning bush to worship God. That's not what God wants. He says, "You have an encounter with me and you leave this place and you go and do the work that I have called you to do. The work that I have prepared you to do since even before you were born." Makes another excuse. Verse 10, God says to him, "Come now therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." Here's a man who's lost his ambition. He's lost a lot of his pride. God had to bring him through some things and temper him down a little bit. And I think often that's what God does with us. You know, and I look back, as much as I hated the time on the backside of the desert, I look back at that time in my life and say, you know, God really tempered me there. I learned things there that I wouldn't have learned in any other situation. Things that I use today. And God had to use those experiences as learning times for me, just as He did with Moses. And He'll do the same thing with you. But I want you to look at Exodus chapter 4 and verse 10 for just one last minute. This is one last thing. I can't say minute because I know it's going to be longer than a minute. But this is his last excuse. Moses said unto the Lord, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant. But I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue." He says, God, I'm still slow of speech. My speech has not changed in the last few moments since I've been talking to you. This is the way that I am. I am slow of speech and tongue. I stammer. Can't say things well. I can't communicate that well. I'm not a talker. I can't express myself. Lord, I've had trouble. Lord, I can't speak. Verse 11, the Lord said unto him, "Who hath made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord?" That's a pretty bold statement. Am I saying that God makes people deaf and dumb and blind? I'm just reading what it says. I'm not going there. But what it does say to me is that God knows not only where I am, but who I am, and he knows my limitations, and he compensates for them. He knows my inabilities, he knows my inadequacies, he knows every excuse that I have, whether legitimate or not. And he's prepared to work with me anyway. And here's the thing that captivates me about this particular incident. The Lord admits that Moses is slow of speech. Maybe he has some speech impediment. God admits that. He doesn't say, Moses, you're just making excuses. In verse 12, he says, now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth and teach thee what thou shalt say. Verse 13, and he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him who thou wilt send. What is he saying? What's Moses saying? He's saying, Lord, please send somebody else to do it. Now we're getting to the heart of the matter. Now we're getting to the truth. All those excuses basically came down to this. Lord, just get somebody else to do it. That's really what he was asking. God said, no, I'm not going to do it. I foreordained you and you are in my grasp. I have captured you in my net and I'm not going to let you get away. Whatever I lack, whatever you lack, God compensates for. It's an excuse, but it's only an excuse. Because if God has called you to do something, he will make sure that you can get it done. Whoever he calls, he enables. And you might be sitting here this morning and thinking, but if I had an encounter with God and God called me to do something, I would have all these reasons why I can't do them. Basically, what you are saying is, God, would you send somebody else? But I'm here to tell you today that if you really want to have an encounter with God, if you want to have a burning bush experience, you have to right now say, Lord, I want to have an encounter with you. And then the result of that encounter is you're going to ask me to do something. I'm going to do it. I'm going to be right up front and I'm going to say, I'm going to be willing to do it. There's an Aaron for every Moses. To sum it up, God meets us just where we are. Moses did not have to get out of the desert and get back into the palace before God spoke to him. He spoke to him in the desert. He spoke to him right where he was. If God wants to speak to you, you don't have to come to church to get spoken to. Now, hopefully he does speak to you here. But you don't have to be here in order for God to speak to you. Sometimes we think, well, if I get my life straightened out and I get right where I should be, then God will speak to me. No, God speaks to us right where we are. He speaks to us in the desert. He speaks to us like the prodigal son, even in the pig pen. That's why we sing the song, just as I am, I come. Would you be willing to come aside and see the burning bush, to see the supernatural in the natural? Would you be willing to come and see with respect and reverence and awe the holiness of God? Would you be willing to say that whatever the result of that encounter with you is, whatever work comes out of it, Lord, you can count on me. I'm willing to do it. Just as I am, I come. Could I have your heads bowed, your eyes closed? I think most of us would love to have an encounter with God. But we're afraid. We're afraid. And so we don't look for the supernatural in the natural. We're afraid of what God might ask us to do. And so we fail to have these encounters. But if you this morning, wherever you are in life, wherever you are in your spiritual walk, if you would just say, just as I am, Lord, I come to you, then you give God the opportunity to place a burning bush somewhere around you. You give him that opportunity to do so. So I would like us to take our songbooks this morning, sing that song, Just As I Am.